Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, and welcome to Land Grant Holy Land Uncut. My name is Matt Tamanini. On this podcast, we bring you uncut audio from press conferences and interview sessions with Ohio State players, coaches, and sometimes various and sundry other figures from the sporting world. On today's episode, you will hear Chris Holtmann's Wednesday, January 12th press conference that he did with the collected Ohio State media ahead of Thursday night's game against the number 13 Wisconsin Badgers. This press conference was held on Zoom because Chris Holtmann is still in COVID protocol, so he is not allowed to be around other people. However, he did inform everybody that he will be leaving on Thursday morning to join his team in Madison before the big top 20 matchup that night. In addition to giving us all an update on his health and that of assistant coach Ryan Peden, Holtmann also talked about what has changed for both the Buckeyes and the Badgers since their first meeting of the year in which Ohio State blew out the Wisconsin team. He discussed why Jake Diebler was the right person to take over the team in his and Peden's absence. He gets into Malachi Branham's progression as a second option for the Buckeyes and much, much more. So, with all of that now out of the way, here's Ohio State men's basketball coach Chris Holtmann.
Here we go. We'll start off with Steve Hellwagon and Patrick Murphy on deck. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, hey, Coach. First of all, I guess everyone's curious about what happened for you here in the last 6 or 7 days. If you could, what you're able to tell us about what happened and how difficult that was. I just wonder if there's a hole in the wall there in that room where you were watching that game as Northwestern kept flipping in one shot after another.
Yeah. It's a dip that no question. That's not an easy thing, Steve, for sure. So, you know, I think I don't mind telling you that I started to have some symptoms that I felt on Friday, took a test, nothing after practice just to make sure. Then, Saturday, woke up with a fever and tested positive. And, you know, so we were able to do practice, just put practice together on Saturday, met with the staff virtually. I wanted to do a PCR to confirm. Ryan Peden had told me earlier that morning that he had tested positive. So you know, we met as a staff, put the game plan together, organized what the next day was going to look like. So you're still really involved, obviously, in the day to day, really all the way leading up until tip. Met with the team virtually before, did our normal personnel reminders with the team, and then had the staff go through their things. And I thought Jake and Ryan and Tony did a tremendous job, and the support staff did a good job pitching in for that 24-hour period for sure.
Mm-hmm. Regarding Wisconsin, you've already played them one time. You get into that stretch where you're starting to do replays. They haven't lost a game since they lost to you guys on December 11. And it seemed in that game that it was Davis that kind of held them up and held them in it. I assume from your standpoint, they're getting more contributions from more people. What are you seeing out of them, I guess, these last five or six games that have been – I mean, they've been on a bit of a run here.
They really have, Steve. It might have been as well as we played all year. I think you could certainly put that game up there with maybe the Duke and the Seton Hall games in terms of how well we played. You know, we have a really tough stretch here of next couple days, because we have a Wisconsin team followed by a Penn State team. And you could certainly argue that those are two of the hotter teams in the league right now. Penn State's won three of their last four. They almost beat Purdue at home, or else they would have won four out of four. We have a quick turnaround with them on Saturday at noon, followed by a Wisconsin team that, as you mentioned, they've only lost once this year with Davis. They're all American in the lineup, and that was at our place. So I got a lot of respect for them as a team. Greg's done a tremendous job with them this year. They're physical at home. They really rebound it. They have one of the great wins of the season at Purdue, which we all know is difficult to play there. Obviously you have Davis, who's emerged as a lottery pick, but they have other guys. But it does really begin and end with Davis and Davison for those guys. They've had a tremendous season thus far, for sure. It's going to be as big a challenge as we played all year.
Thank you.
All right, we'll go Patrick Murphy with Griffin Strom on deck. Patrick.
Chris, I know with yourself being out, Ryan being out, you didn't have a ton of options, but what makes Jake Diebler a guy who can step in and lead the program when you're out for a game?
You know, it was really it was an easy decision because of how much I think of Jake. But I don't, you know, it was a collaborative effort. It really was. You know, Mike Nettie had to take over for Ryan Peden's a job, and you know, we collaborate as a staff. You know, there's not obviously the head coach is always going to take the necessary blame for the losses, but any success we've had has been really a credit to I think we have a really high quality staff, and there's no question that we have future head coaches on our staff, and Ryan and Jake and Tony are going to be those guys sooner rather than later. But I thought Mike Nettie as well as Tony really pitched in. But, you know, Ryan obviously would have gotten that designation. But with him being out, Jake's the second most experienced on our staff. And, you know, he's been a great, great hire for us.
And Jake talked to us after the game about just the amount of stuff you have to do to get ready, you know, talking to the referees during the game to get exploit. I mean, stuff that I guess most people don't think about as a head coach. How valuable can even one game be for him? As you said, a guy who's probably going to be a head coach down the line, just to experience all that in a major game like that, not, you know, it wasn't a practice or something.
I think it really helps. It helps him, you know, to have a fuller picture of kind of what all, you know, I've always felt like in coaching, if you can, you know, most every assistant wants to be the head coach or wants to be a head coach at some point. And they all understand that that's hopefully within their goals. But I've always felt like if throughout your early coaching career, if you could do every job from director of basketball operations or director of football operations to assistant coach to recruiting coordinator, It really allows you to see when you become a head coach to see the job for what it is. And listen, there is, you know, there is a lot that goes on in a head coach's mind. And I've always said being a head coach can bring your insecurities to the surface more than anything in life. And I think you have to be secure with who you are. You have to trust your players, trust your system. But for, you know, I think it's just a snippet, right? It's just one game. So I think, and there was a lot of, you know, collaborative preparation leading up to that. I think at the end of the day, you know, personally, I think it can really help him moving forward for sure.
All right, we'll go Griffin Strom and Jacob Bench on that. Griffin.
Hey, Coach, circling back to Davis for a second. You know, last time against you guys, he had 24 points and shot 50%, but he also went 2 for 7 from three. And I don't even think he shot a free throw. So I'm just wondering, you know, what did you like about the way you guys defended him and what you think you can do better as well, perhaps?
Well, we did not defend him well early. And it's going to be a big challenge for Malachi. Malachi has to be better in this game. And it's a lot to ask of a freshman because he's going to be guarding an All-American and then continue to – hopefully he can continue to play at such a really, really high level that Malachi has played at. But it's a big challenge. And obviously he's got to respond to the game, you know, kind of the frustrating game he had right before Christmas. We played really, really well as a team. It was just one of the games where he struggled. But I think with a guy like Davis, it really is a collective team thing. He's so good at getting to his spots, and he's such he's got such burst and athleticism, and he can make shots at all three levels that you just have to make it difficult for him. And then you have to eliminate some of the impact that the other guys have.
And then you talk about Malachi there. I'm just wondering, you know, with this three-game stretch he's on, you know, how much it's made you more comfortable maybe with the idea that he could really be a second option for you guys, and especially – you know, you talked early in the season about how, you know, Justice was going to be a guy to potentially step in that, you know, late game playmaking type of role. How much you think that Malachi is kind of proving to you that he can kind of fill some of that role himself?
Well, we've designated that, you know, really since the beginning of part of the season. I mean, our opening game, we ran an action for him when we needed a bucket. So this is not something that's just come upon us because of his scoring in the last, you know, three games. Obviously, he started most every game. So we felt like that he could grow. Now, listen, it's not going to be, you know, 35 one night, 24 the next night, every game, you know, for Malachi. There's going to be ups and downs. But we, you know, we really have a high-level belief in what he can be. I'm a little bit hesitant to say, you know, hey, this guy is going to be the number two or this guy is going to be the number three. I think let's let that evolve and play out because I think it could be different guys on different nights. We know that EJ will most nights be our leading scorer and the guy that we play through. And there are other guys that have emerged, but I don't think right now we're ready to say, okay, hey, it's definitely going to be this guy on this given night. I think we'll let guys continue to grow and evolve as players.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
We'll go with Jacob Bench and Clay Hall on deck. Jacob.
Hey, Chris, we talked with Kyle earlier and just about the team's conditioning. It's been something you've talked a lot about this last week or two. And, you know, with your team playing 3 games in 5 days coming up, just where have you seen the team's conditioning level and the preparedness to play that many games in this small of a stretch?
You know, I think it's real. I think it's a real challenge because, you know, I mean, I had a 20-minute workout yesterday and could feel it. And I'm certainly far from an elite athlete. I'm the opposite of what an elite athlete would be. Having said that, I do work out every now and then, and I felt differently. So I think it is a challenge coming those guys that came off the pause and that were not able to do anything and that also, you know, had COVID. And we tried to keep that relatively in-house, but you could probably speculate. So I think it is a challenge for us as a team collectively and individually. We're not there yet, but I think we're a little closer.
And just from a bigger picture point of view, with students returning to campus this week with the start of the spring semester, you know, they see concessions are closed at games. They saw that you tested positive. I guess if you had a message to tell the students to as they continue to test and combat the pandemic themselves, just maybe what would that be for the campus community?
You know, I think just continue to follow the protocols that the university has in place. You know, it has went through our team, but everybody's been fine. We've had really limited symptoms. Now we're fully vaccinated as a team, but I believe every student is as well. I have my booster as well. I think just continue to follow the protocols. I think we all agree right now, or at least most of us do, that we're going to have to continue to live with this. And as much as we can do to mitigate it, let's do that. But I'm really glad that we have fans, that our students showed up last game, that they're going to hopefully show up at noon on Saturday because we desperately need them. We desperately need our fans. And I don't anticipate. We'll see what the numbers would like are like, but hopefully, you know, the concessions will open up here at some point before the season ends.
Cool. Thank you.
Next up, Clay Hall and Colin Gay on that. Clay.
Chris, one favor. Could you tilt your device so you're a little bit further up in the screen? Because I don't want to cover up your face on television with that name. Perfect. Thank you.
Sure.
Don't want to violate your HIPAA rights, but how did you conquer COVID? I mean, were there home remedies, chicken soup? How did you come around to it? If you could share that.
Yeah, Clay. It did not hit me. I did have a fever, slight fever. Now I just recently got my booster. So, I wonder, I know the boosters affected some people, but I had a slight fever. I've had a little bit of trouble sleeping. But that could be, I have trouble sleeping in season anyway.
Sure.
It did not affect me all that much. And, you know, I think my wife snuck down in the basement and grabbed that video of me watching the game the other night and sent it to Joe Gemma. I think you could see I was feeling fine and energized. But I'm definitely following the protocols of when we can return and I'll be able to return to the team tomorrow morning.
Good to see you. Thanks.
Sure thing, Clay.
All right, we'll go Colin Gay with Spencer Holbrook on deck. Colin.
Hey, Chris. The Wisconsin game on December 11th was one of, your bigs were very consistent. I mean, whether it was Zed, whether it was EJ down low getting offensive boards, whether it was Kyle kind of more in a defensive role. And I'm curious about, as you watch film of that game, as you prepare for another battle with Wisconsin, how much do you take in that? Is that encouraging to you? What does that, performance do in terms of your confidence moving into this next game?
Well, I think when we've been good, our bigs have been good and physical. And I would say EJ as a forward's been physical and Zed's been physical. When we've not been good, we've not been very physical. And I thought, we had good physicality. We had our poorest defensive rebounding efforts in 4 years against Northwestern. So that and our defense in general needs to get much better. But I thought our physicality on the offensive end was really good. And it needs to continue to be that way because we've been at our best. And like I said, the Wisconsin game here, we were really good on that.
And I know, a starting lineup really doesn't, I mean, you rotate players in and out, whether it's Zed, whether it's Kyle, but I'm curious is that something that you do want to continue to see Kyle in the starting lineup or is it going to be fluid or?
Yeah, that was, they play two forwards. Northwestern plays two forwards. So we talked about it as a staff and I just felt like that was a better matchup. They play two forwards and then they bring off a big guy off the bench so that we felt like it'd be a better matchup across the board for our personnel. That's why we did that.
Thank you.
All right, we'll go Spencer Holbrook, yeah. Stephen Means on deck. Spencer. Yeah.
Chris, I guess for clarity's sake, maybe for just myself, are you traveling with the team or are you going to travel separately and get up there tomorrow morning and be with them after that?
So we've done everything virtually, meetings, met with the team yesterday, met with the staff throughout both days. We put practice together like we normally would. Everything's been virtually. And then the staff has run practice yesterday and today. And then I will travel there tomorrow morning and meet the team.
Okay. And then, well, thank you for clarifying. And then when you are at home watching a game and probably not something you've ever experienced or wanted to experience and you probably don't want to do it again, does that give you a little bit more appreciation for what you do and being on the sidelines? Do you kind of look at it now or are you not allowing yourself to do that and just kind of focusing on what's ahead right now?
Well, it makes me really appreciate good players. That's what it makes me really appreciate. That the start that EJ had, I think, was great because it relaxed our coaching staff. And it certainly relaxed the head coach at home, too.
All right, we'll finish the last two here. Stephen Means and Adam Jardy. Go ahead, Stephen.
Chris, also, just for more clarity, is Peden also on the same timeline as you? Should we expect to see him back on the sideline tomorrow?
Yeah, that's right, Stephen. He's same time. We both had symptoms at the same day.
Okay.
So which was last week, yes.
Okay. And then just to touch on Malachi again, obviously, I think most people would have expected him to be on this timeline of at this point in the season is when he's get comfortable as a scorer at this level, as he kind of figured out where he could get his shots at. I mean, 35 points is not real every single night. 24 points is probably not even real. But what's a realistic expectation for a guy like that as he starts to come into his own here as you get into the meat of the Big Ten schedule?
I mean, look around college basketball right now, as you know, Stephen, and everybody on this call knows. I mean, look at people in our league right now. We have two freshmen on our team that were in the top three in freshman minutes played in our league, in Malachi and Michi. So the fact that just shows you how hard it is to play as a freshman, and then certainly to have some of the numbers, especially on a good team, to have some of those numbers. So I don't anticipate, again, I don't think it's realistic to expect those numbers to continue. There'll be nights where he struggles. There'll be nights where it's not his night. And he got to learn from that and continue to grow. The Wisconsin game, again, we're looking at, he had four turnovers, didn't score. Did I look at him that night and say, man, he's, you know, at that point, after that game, I said, Malachi is a really good player. And that was one of the games that he struggled. It just wasn't his night. We know what he can do. I think we believe in what he can be.
All right. And we'll finish up with Adam Jardy. Go ahead, Adam.
Chris, there's been a constant theme since the Northwestern game about how the fact that you guys were able to weather this storm is a credit to the leadership that you've built, the upperclassmen that you have. Jake talked about how it was the ultimate credit to what you've been building because the program was able to sustain itself even in your absence. Do you get a feeling for that, or does what you guys went through say something about what you've been trying to build and where you think this program is 5 years into your time here?
Well, I appreciate Jake saying that. I don't want to make too much of one game because it was a It was a home game coming off a loss where we struggled in the last 10 minutes. And I think we had a motivated group, Adam, in that moment. You don't want to make too much of one game or not. But, you know, I would certainly hope that if my absence was an extended absence, you know, God forbid, if my absence was an extended absence, that there would be, I think that's when you really get a sense of what, how healthy the culture is. And I believe we have a very, very healthy culture. And I believe that because I think we have exceptional people as upperclassmen and as captains and as staff guys who are aligned in terms of what we believe is most important and how we believe coaching should be. So, you know, I hope that's the case. I would hope that if there was an extended absence that we could continue to grow. And I think that's what we're trying to do right now, not be perfect, but continue to grow. So, you know, I was glad to see. I think those guys, too, had those upperclassmen had an alertness to them that they coming off the Indiana game, they just wanted to play better and I think that was, you know, they had a good way about them for sure.
And then slightly different topic, but I was asking Kyle about this. You both touched on some of the rebounding issues and trying to cut down on second chance opportunities. He talked a little bit about keys and what you try to do when you're in a scramble situation. But as you've like looked at when teams have gotten second chance opportunities, have there been like common threads, or can you maybe try to quantify how much better teams shoot when they get a second opportunity against you guys?
Oh, you know what? It's a great question because I'm sure there are numbers on that. And we've all watched college basketball enough here to know when you give up second chance, it more often results in something, a scramble situation, a wide open look. And I'm telling you, it is almost like every time that thing's going down. And we just have to be better. We had a lot going on Sunday, but to have one of our worst defensive performance or rebounding performances in 4 years, it's a challenge for us. We have to be better in that area. And we've had some really good moments defensively this year, but that wasn't one of our better ones. We were phenomenal offensively that night. So I think our rebounding defensively is at the top. That and just making better decisions with the ball. I think those are our two things that we've talked about these last couple of weeks. We have to get better at.
And can you give us any status update on just, I guess, the state of the roster, how full strength you'll be, if there's updates on Seth or Justice? We haven't seen Seth in the last two games.
Yeah. So Seth and Justice are there's no immediate update on them. They're both continuing to make progress, Adam. And, you know, they're doing a little more each time I see him. So Justice has done a little more this week than what he did last week in terms of being active. He's moving around. He's doing some light workouts. So he's getting closer, but we don't expect to have him for Thursday or Saturday at noon. He or Seth.
Thank you.
All right, Coach. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.